Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
And I can't, make sure you join us on our next program. We're not going to talk about it in this program, but it's a wonderful interview of T.D. Jakes. Mm. And his grandfather was 20, I think he was 20 years old. We'll know more about it in our next program, but 20 years old. And he was murdered, I believe, coming home from the store by a racist in Mississippi.
Oh, wow.
And he's named after his grandfather.
I didn't know
that. And he's going to be talking about racial tensions in the church. And he has such a great perspective of, you know, that it's just so true. And we got to begin to say, you know, he talks about this. I know we're fixing to go to break, but he talks about, this is our next program, but I just want to let you know that I believe this too, and I know that John does, that this what's happening in America right now is a judgment on the church's silence for so many years.
Yeah.
This immoral laws that we've kept for so long. And now you have people, you know, talking about immoral laws. It's like they've been on the books for a long time.
A long time.
And then the laws got changed, but immorality stayed in the heart of those who proclaimed to be the church for a long time.
Yeah.
And nobody talked about it. They just want to talk about the most recent, you know, whatever. Mm. And it's, you got to catch that next program. It's going to be a great conversation. Plus, we're going to be having Tyler Burns is going to be joining us,
yes,
and Aaron James, you know, Pastor Tyler Burns.
Exciting.
And Aaron James and others as well, Assistant Chief of Police in Pensacola, Florida, you know, David Alexander. And we're going to be having conversations about the church, law and how do we respond to this as the church. Today, you need to pray.
Mm.
Pray today that your representative that you selected to go down and represent you will hear your heart.
Yeah.
Pray that they will vote for, how are they describing the bill?
It's called a Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act.
In other words, they can feel your pain. They can feel the pain of them, of murdering that child. And, you know, I want to say, first of all, you know, for those that are, in, you know, I don't know where you're standing in your state, but I know the state of Florida, Governor Scott, Governor Rick Scott, came near the studios,
yes,
and signed the VFNTV studios and signed the Born Alive bill.
Yeah.
Thank you, Governor Scott.
Yeah.
Thank you, legislator of the state of Florida.
Yes.
And that Born Alive bill represents, I have the, actually have the pen.
You have the pen.
One of the pens
office,
in
yes,
my office. And, you know, let your, the leaders that you chose know that you want them to stand up. He signed this bill. And this is what Representative Clay said that was there during that signing. I believe Pat and I were at that signing, that he said that there's no governor that's ever been in office that ever would have signed this bill.
Wow.
Which means it only would have been Governor Scott that would have signed that bill.
Wow.
And this is what it says. It says that if, in fact, that baby is born alive at whatever point, then you, it's an American citizen that has all the rights as an American citizen. And if you touch that child in any way, all the laws apply.
Yeah.
And so if you kill that baby because it's this, quote, botched murder, botched abortion, then you're going to be prosecuted for that. That's what it said.
Yeah.
Well, today, John, today they're voting and putting teeth behind a bill that says 20 weeks old is abortion. If you abort from 20 weeks more, right?
Yeah, 20 weeks. If you abort the child after 20 weeks and the baby is capable of surviving because of the botched murder abortion that was taking place, if you don't get this baby to a hospital so they can save their life, they're going to fine them and they can be imprisoned up to 5 years.
That's it?
I know.
But today, this is about putting teeth. Today, they're going to be voting. Take a look at this. This is the story behind what's happening today. We wanted you to be able to see this so you can pray and ask God to touch our leaders, because they're the ones that have to vote for it. All they got to do is just pull the little button and it says
yes
and stand up for God. And of all the things, when you think about it, that God would bring judgment on a nation, it would be because of the sacrifice of children, innocent bloodshed. And it's taken place today, over 55 million since 1973.
Yes.
Take a look at this.
The House of Representatives is scheduled to vote Wednesday on a bill banning abortions after 20 weeks. Pro-life groups say the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act will save thousands of unborn children every year. Representative Trent Franks of Arizona, the bill's sponsor, says the bill will stop late-term abortions on babies who can not only feel pain but also are capable of surviving outside the womb. The vote takes place 2 years to the day a jury convicted Philadelphia late-term abortionist Kermit Gosnell. Gosnell was found guilty of murder for killing babies born alive during an abortion. And joining us now is Arena Grosu, director of the Center for Human Dignity at the Family Research Council. Arena, what is the significance of the vote happening this Wednesday?
It is amazing to see that all of the different candidates have come out with this and that they can finally support this pain-capable bill. It's strong, and it will save up to 13,000 American babies every single year. And it'll take America out of the one of the seven countries who still has abortion until the day of birth.
Mm. Pro-life groups say the bill also protects women from the effects of late-term abortions. Tell us about that.
Well, late-term abortions are dangerous procedures, and obviously for the women, it's very dangerous, and for the children, too. And also, it protects. There's a requirement in the bill that if there is a baby born alive, that the baby will get the care the baby needs as well.
Okay. The bill first came up in January, but some internal debate blocked the vote. What was the objection and how has it been overcome?
The objection was over the rape reporting requirement, and now there is no rape reporting requirement, but a woman will have to go see a licensed counselor or physician 48 hours and this doctor or counselor cannot be in any way related to the abortion industry before she would even be eligible for a late abortion, and it would have to be based on a rape.
Okay, so there is a rape exception. If it was a case of rape, there's a possibility the late-term abortion would be allowed to go forward.
That's right. So there are exceptions in the case of the life of the mother, rape, or incest with a minor. But again, those do require counseling with a licensed physician or counselor 48 hours beforehand. And also for a rape or incest with a minor, there is either that would have to be in some way, they would have to let either law enforcement know or social services know about that. So there's that component of it, but there is no requirement beforehand.
All right. And this would be, of course, a big victory for the pro-life cause. How hard is the abortion camp fighting against it right now?
Well, they are seeing this as a threat because it would ban abortions after 20 weeks post-fertilization, except in the cases of rape, incest, or the life of the mother. And so this would actually take us out of that camp of seven internationally that do allow abortions until the day of birth. But this is actually supported by the majority of Americans. A Quinnipiac study showed that 60% of Americans want to see a ban on abortions after 20 weeks post-fertilization, and this is because babies can feel pain, and this is an excruciatingly painful procedure, no matter what abortion method is being used. And so we will be saving those babies, and it's going to be a great victory.
All right, that's the optimistic view. Arena Grosu with the Family Research Council, thanks so much for joining us.
This is so important. You know, remember, as we talked about, we're personally held accountable before God. It's not necessarily what's happening in the political atmosphere. It's not what's happening in some political party. And it makes no difference if people go to Washington, D.C. and say that they stand up for godly values, but they vote ungodly.
Exactly.
You know, because they're, you know, I have this article that it's being looked over right now. But it's, you know, it's called, you know, give me an inch, take a mile law. You know, and so many people are falling for that. They're falling for, you know, I know this is not popular, but let's just go ahead and give them this inch and move on to the more important, you know, things going on. And we'll work our way later on. And
Throw them a bone.
Yeah. And they're just so shocked when they find out, they give them the inch and they go ahead and pass the bill number 666. You know, they pass it. And then they said, let's move on. And then 2 weeks later, all of a sudden, their phones are ringing, their emails blowing up, going like, we want the mile law. And it's like, I gave you the inch. Sure. Oh, you don't understand. We're to give an inch, take a mile. I mean, you cannot negotiate with evil. It's going to ask for more. It's insatiable.
Yeah, and it's important to pray for our politicians, those that we've voted in there. They have a tough job to do. And something happens when they go to D.C. You can only imagine what they're being attacked with on a spiritual, you know, basis. And also pray for their staffers. You know, we had a segment not long ago. Maybe we can make this related for you. Where the staffers, they do so much work in reading the bills and making sure that this information gets to, you know, the politician so that he can vote properly and be informed. We want to pray for them. Right. But I was just reflecting as we were just listening to this great segment that, man, how far have we gone as a nation? We're praying now for a 20-week ban, but for some teeth. It's like... For teeth in a bill that
to kill less children.
To kill less children. Yeah. It's like,
I think she said 13,000 less children will die, you know, because of that. But the thing about this, though, that I see is because, you know, if you look at history and you know, you can see, you know, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he works with us and progressively moves us to a place. And sometimes he slams it down and moves us in. And, you know, sometimes we want like instant things, but we have to. We have to willingly want to go for it to be right. Just. And so, you know, how long has, you know, International House of Prayer Kansas City been praying for, you know, end abortion, send revival. And then, you know, we heard that call. And we began to pray ourselves, you know, end abortion, send revival.
5 years. Yeah. 5 years we've been praying.
Yes, 5 years. And it's significant because of all the gods that God hate the fault. There is no God other than God, but the small G God. That God hated the most was Moloch, because they would sacrifice children to these gods. And that's taking place today. I mean, if you look at it, you know, so often we look at historical sin on some mountain or rock somewhere. Mm. You know, you see these particular people. And why would somebody sacrifice their child to Moloch? Well, demonically held captive to do it. But but think about it. Okay, what they're saying about this child is that its life's going to end. And because of that, my life's going to be better. That's the basic thing. If I sacrifice my child to this false god, Moloch, then my crops are going to be blessed. Then I'll have a bigger house. Then I could buy a boat or whatever. You know, back then it was like, you know, they thought it was giving some offering to some god, which is the antithesis of what God would want. And so you see that on some rock somewhere, some ziggurat somewhere on the top of some sacrificial thing. But just come into today's thing and just pass by. A local ziggurat somewhere, some sort of, okay, it's not rock anymore. It's a metal table. And if you just rip off the brick veneer and the 2x4s and the sheetrock, and you're looking at that doctor in there about to kill that child. And you know, they constantly, it's spoken about in regards to abortion is, you know, because of rape or incest, but that's like 1%. And so 99, whatever percent of that. Is just people thinking that my life will be better if I actually end the life of this child. I'll have more. I'll get more. I'll be able to do more. And so if you pass by that local, you know, abortion clinic, the Gazelle Clinic, who has legs in his refrigerator and all these different things that he did, you know, and so it's the same thing. It's the same thing. And so one of the biggest sins on our nation is the blood. And remember this, Abel's blood still cries out today.
Wow.
So imagine all these children's blood just crying out to God. And we're not even saying it's wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I remember during the break you were talking about how many times we reflect about Germany and the Holocaust. Yeah. And can you share a little bit about that?
Well, you think about it. You know, you look back at history and you see where these concentration camps were going on in Germany, like 20,000 of them, I think, something of that nature. And people just went about, you know, making their food for breakfast. They went to work. They did these different things. And they just passed those camps and didn't even pay attention. It didn't even connect what's going on inside those camps. And they believed whatever the propaganda that was being said at that particular time. It was the most popular thing. And it wasn't until after the war they required, matter of fact, the troops, America made them walk through the camps to see what was happening in their own community. And then they realized all the death, mayhem, and destruction. Well, think about this. You think, what's wrong with those people in Germany? Why didn't they do something? But aren't we in America driving by every single day an abortion clinic? By 50, I mean, think about 55. How many people's in your state? John and I added it up one time. If you add up population like in the certain states.
The
like,
least populated states in the nation.
It'd be 50% of America's population would be aborted.
Yes. Yes.
That's significant. One life is significant. Abel's life is significant. But the fact that we don't even say it's significant. the fact that our representative that we sent to Congress or to the Senate goes, I know, you know, we're just going to cut back and just set a saying, no, we have to stop this. We answer to God. Forget about, you know, the inch and take a mile crew. Mm-hmm. It's like we got to stand before God and say, Lord, this is wrong. Lord, forgive us for the sin. Josiah did it. And God turned everything around. But you're looking at, I mean, let's get 8,000 potential deaths in Nepal. Mm. And it's tragic.
8,000. That number's staggering.
But then you think about, isn't that what actually gets aborted in America during a month, maybe? We figured it out. Yeah. We figured it out. We have a previous program that we'll make it related. But how many counties, how many... parishes or counties are there in America? We added them up. Mm-hmm. I think it was 6,000 or something. I don't know.
Something crazy, yeah.
That was a dark in the shot, so I have no idea. But it was like something like that. And then we divided amongst all the number of abortions that happen in a year.
Yeah.
And then understanding that abortions are the ending of a child's life, which means the sacrifice of a child, which would be a sacrifice to Moloch, mm-hmm. which is the god that God hates the most, small g God, the people's concept of what they're doing. And there's enough abortions that are taking place, especially now with the you can do your own with a pill or something.
Oh, yeah.
That every single county, every single day potentially it was, was offering up some sort of sacrifice on the metal altar of, you know, and it's like this comes up before the nostrils of God. Mm-hmm. And I know it's difficult. I know it is so difficult. You know, and I wish we had that. Do we have that? We don't have it available. My goodness, I wish we had it available. But that interview that was done, you know, they set up an interview on a Skype interview for people to come apply for a job, and they described what it was to be like in this job. You have to work 24 hours a day. Yeah. You got to have these different techniques. Yeah. And what they were describing is what it takes to be a parent, what it takes to be a mother. And in that, every one of them turned the job down. They thought, this is crazy. This is insane. You know why? Because that's what it requires you to lay down your life to have a child. They demanded of you. It's cute at first. And then funny, it's like, they want my life, you know, and they have no problem. You know, it's like, yeah. Right. Like, you want every part of me. And it's like, but that's what we're supposed to do. Mm. Are you doing? Oh, you got to see this. Watch this right now. Watch this.
Just give me 1 second. Thank
sure.
you. Sorry. Uh-huh. Hey. 2 minutes. Thank you. Hi, good afternoon. Sorry about
that.
Oi.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Have you ever done one of these interviews over the camera before?
No.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the job to get started with. It's not just a job. It's sort of probably the most important job. The title that we have going right now is Director of Operations, but it's really kind of so much more than that. Responsibilities and requirements are really quite extensive. First category for the requirements would be mobility. This job requires that you must be able to work standing up most or really all of the time, constantly on your feet, constantly bending over, constantly exerting yourself, a high level of stamina.
Okay.
That's a lot.
For how many hours?
135 hours to unlimited hours a week. It's basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I'm sure you'll have a chance from time to time to maybe just sit down here and there, yeah?
You mean like a break?
Yeah.
No, there are no breaks available.
Is that even legal?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So like no lunch?
You can have lunch, but only when the associate is done eating their lunch.
I think that's a little intense.
No,
not possible.
That's crazy.
Now, this position requires excellent negotiation and interpersonal skill. We're really looking for someone that might have a degree in medicine, in finance, and the culinary arts. You must be able to wear several hats. Associate needs constant attention. Sometimes they have to stay up with an associate throughout the night. Being able to work in a chaotic environment, if you had a life, we'd ask you to sort of give that life up. No vacations. In fact, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and holidays, the workload is going to go up, and we demand that with a happy disposition.
That's almost cruel. That's almost a very, very sick, twisted joke.
But when there's time to sleep or...
Oh, no time to sleep.
Yeah, all-encompassing, almost.
That's exactly right.
365 days a year?
Yes.
No, that's
That's inhumane.
That's very insane.
The meaningful connections that you make and the feeling that you get from really helping your associate are immeasurable. Also, let's cover the salary. The position is going to pay absolutely nothing.
Excuse me?
No. Nobody's doing that for free.
Yeah, pro bono. Completely for free.
No.
What if I told you there's someone that actually currently holds this position right now? Billions of people, actually.
Who?
Moms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moms. That's awesome.
Oh!
And they meet every requirement, don't they?
Oh my God. Moms are the best!
Yeah, there's no pay. They're 24 hours, they're always there.
Now I'm thinking about my mom.
Yeah, and what are you thinking about her?
I'm thinking about all those nights and everything.
Thank you so much for everything you do. I know it doesn't seem like I appreciate all of it, but I definitely do.
So, Mom, I want to say thank you for everything that you've done. I love you very much. You've been there through thick and thin. My mom is just awesome. She's awesome.
This generation has been sold a bill of goods, which is not true. When they're presented with the reality and the authenticity of life, how they actually got here, all the things that was sown into them, all the mothering and the fathering and the parenting and the choices, they don't understand it. And when it's presented to them, they abort it. The enemy has convinced this generation, many in this generation, that life, their life, is more important than the next generation. But they don't understand it. If their parents felt that way, they wouldn't even exist. Understand this. It's all a lie. When they realized, even though they were rejected the reality of what it requires to parent and to be a mother of them, they realized, what am I thinking? My whole life benefited from that. I am talking against my own mother. The thing is that you have to be brave enough and confident enough and willing to go through that entire life description to be able to pour into the next generation. There's not a greater thing that you can do than to speak into this next generation, to birth this next generation. Everything in today's society says it's not worth it, but eternity says it is so worth it. I want to pray with you right now. Maybe you're thinking about this moment to end the life of your child. Maybe you're even counseling your child to end the life of the child. You come up with some excuse. Don't do it. Don't do it. Think about it. Solomon was the byproduct of a relationship that kind of went rough, but God used Solomon. That's the son of Bathsheba and David. Understand that Rahab, you know, she was a prostitute, but God used her. And God gives life. You didn't give life. Let that life live and begin to pour your life into that child, and you'll never regret it. I want to pray for you right now. Father God, we ask you to end abortion over America. Forgive us, Lord, for the lives that we've taken to be selfish and think about ourselves and just thinking our life would be better if we end the life of someone else, even our own child. God, forgive us for the sin of abortion. Forgive us for not even recognizing what our parents, our mothers, and fathers did to be able to lay down their life so that we could have life. Break this mindset over this generation, over America that says the next generation is not valuable, not important. God, forgive us for all the sacrificial places and driving past these abortion sacrificial Moloch sacrificing places, these abortion clinics every day, the way the Germans drove past the concentration camps when Jews were being killed and murdered and burned and gassed. Lord, the babies are being drowned by saline solution. They're being drilled out of their mother's womb. They're being pulled out, Father God, over 55 million. Dear God, we know it's wrong now. God, forgive us. End abortion. Send revival. We ask in Jesus' name. And I tell you, right, go to VFNTV.com and go to links, and we have a resources there for you that can help you out if you're going through that time in your life. God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com.
Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.